Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artist to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Tour set, pop!
I had the best wild army encounter the other day in South Dakota, which I always say, but it's like, I'm so blown by this.
Well, you feel like South Dakota is just like a wasteland when it comes to other armies existing there.
Yeah. So I had a really crappy day at work. It was Friday and this is my last week of work. And so I was like, screw it. Like, I came home. I was like, I need to calm down. Had like 2 glasses of wine. And then Corey took me to this pizza place where they have like a wall of beer. I was like, cool, let's go there. And I walk in and the girl at the front counter, she just immediately holds up her forearm and she has a love yourself like flower tattooed onto her forearm, like on the same place that ours are. Yeah. And so I was like, oh my gosh, there's an army in South Dakota. And she immediately started laughing and she's like, well, I'm actually from Kansas. But it was the best because like throughout the night, like she went over with us and she talked to me about ships and fan fiction and Stan Twitter. And it was absolutely the best. Like, I've never had a wild army encounter to that extent. Like, yes. When her shift was over, she even came over. I was like, I'm leaving. It was so great to meet you. So like, I hugged her. Her name was Maya. And so, yeah, now we are connected on Stan Twitter and it was awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah. That is so cool. That's like the immediate like reaction, the immediate like connection that armies have just when we meet each other and we have all the things that we want to talk about is the fucking best.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
I mean,
that you
we even
that.
Talked about like Hope World, all sorts of stuff.
Oh my God. That's so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
In South Dakota. So welcome back, guys.
Yeah. Welcome back.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, I can't believe BTS is the first male group to go on hiatus and actually return.
I had no idea that that was like true until
me
you
either.
Told me that. Like, I am just amazed that they're the first ones to come back from a hiatus.
And just the fact that like we never doubted that they were going to return, you know,
no.
Like we were like, well, they have a concert at the end of October. Like, you know, they'll probably be back around then.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to be back doing stuff, BTS stuff, in the middle of September is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Or I consumed BTS content all day on September 15th, and I'm pretty sure I summoned them from their break.
Yes.
I really felt that way.
Yeah, you watched so much and did so much related to BTS on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Way more than I've done, like, since I've been here in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Like, in the past 4 months, I've not consumed that much BTS content. And then they came back.
And then it's, like, meant to be.
It was like a BTS rain dance.
So if you're down for all of that, then you're in the right place. Today is a very informative but also super fun podcast because we're talking about ARMY essentials. Mm-hmm. We lately have been hearing from a lot of new listeners and a lot of people who are new to the fandom recently. So we thought we'd talk about the information that to us personally is essential to understanding this fandom and BTS.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into it, we have to thank you wonderful, amazing ARMYs for being here and for supporting us. If you're a fan of this show and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by telling people about us and by writing a review on whatever platform you listen on. And then if you want to go above and beyond and show us extra support, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingBTSpodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Again, any type of support is super appreciated. We're glad you all are here listening. But just remember that our show notes are now being posted to Patreon for patrons mm-hmm. of just $1 a month. And then also this week, I set up more perks for patrons, giving $5, $10, $15 a month to include like behind the scenes footage of our research, which is we just did that now. And that was really fun to record.
It was so fun.
So you see our FaceTime conversation. We also have like reaction videos to BTS videos and then, of course, like personalized messages.
Right. So we're really excited about that and just excited to kind of bring you guys more mm-hmm. if you want it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our content of the week. This week, my content of the week is Jimin's photo booth pictures that mm-hmm. he, of course, posted to Twitter 5 days ago today, but it's Monday the 16th. But, you know, he posted them and I feel so grateful and blessed because so many of you guys like tagged me in them or like tweeted them directly at us mm-hmm. and was like, oh, my God, Kayla, you have to see this. And so thank you.
Yeah, because he takes his shirt off and then acts like it was yes. like he looks all innocent or surprised by the
about
end of
it. Yeah. And his shirt says heaven, which is just like, wow, him.
Of
like,
course.
But all the pictures are just incredible. So obviously yeah. that is my content of the week.
Mm-hmm. So my content of the week is Taeyong's Mnet Boy With Love fan cam, which when I was on Twitter, I ended up seeing that this fan cam is apparently the most viewed fan cam of 2019. I was like, what? Okay. Like, how
Why
have I never
I seen
it? Yeah. So I went and watched it and it's just filled with so much adorable, completely filled with facial expressions of Taeyong, just both sexy and cute. So it's like absolutely perfect mm-hmm. and definitely had to be my content of the week.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so before we get into the episode, we do have to talk about next week. Next week, Bethany and Corey are both going to be in Kansas City, which
yeah.
is super exciting. We're really excited about it. But because they're going to be here, we're probably just going to spend the time hanging out
yeah.
and most likely we'll not put out an episode next week. However, if Yoongi happens to release a mixtape by the 24th of next week, then because we just can't pass up the opportunity to do an album review together.
We love doing album reviews together.
They're our favorite. Mm-hmm. So if he releases that before recording day next week, then we will post an episode covering that. But if not, no episode.
No episode. Sorry, guys, but We'll be back the following week.
Yeah. I hope you guys can understand. We just want to, you know, hang out without
this stress of like having to like do a bunch of research together and document all of it and take notes. We just want to hang out.
In very limited time, especially when you guys have other people that you are seeing also.
Okay. So just an overview of this episode. We are going to start off with a very, very brief history of BTS. I mean, so extremely brief. It's painful. But we have other things we want to talk about. We're also going to do an overview of each member, including their interests and their personality, and then kind of like their role in BTS. Again, those will kind of be brief. Then we're going to get into the fandom and just things to know about the ARMY fandom, which is where things get a little bit more interesting that we haven't really talked about on the podcast before. Then we'll go into K-pop and BTS culture, and then just an overview of do's and don'ts of the BTS fandom. Okay. So here's the extremely brief history of BTS. If you don't know already, their band name is BTS. Bangtan Soyodan is their Korean name. It translates to English, Bulletproof Boy Scouts, but they've also said that in the States, we can call them Beyond the Scene, or their English name, I guess, is Beyond the Scene, not just the States. So they debuted under Big Hit Entertainment on June 4th of 2013. Their genre was originally hip hop, but they have now developed into like a wide variety of genres, including pop,
definitely.
Yeah. Including pop, rock, Latin, neo soul, or like R&B soul. And then just like within all of these genres, they kind of explore and get experimental with their own sound.
Yeah, I think they definitely like push the boundaries of each genre to like reflect their own style for sure.
Some of the messages and like lyrical themes that you see a lot within their music, it's focused mostly on like personal and social commentary. They touch on themes of mental health, troubles of school-aged youth, loss, the journey of loving oneself, and individualism. And these lyrics often reference to literature and psychological concepts, such as In Wings, Demian is referred a lot with that, like within that whole Wings era. Map of the Soul, we're just touching on briefly now with Persona, but we've come to find that Carl Jung is the main contributor to a lot of the psychological concepts. So Map of the Soul is actually written by Murray Stein, which is based on Carl Jung's teachings. So yeah, they're really deep. Their music has a lot of meaning and themes to them.
Right. There's definitely always a lot to dissect lyrically in their music. Like, it's pop music that makes you feel good, but it also means so much. So we're just going to kind of talk about big moments in their history. Stuff that for you and I, Bethany, always stick out and that we always remember as such an important moment for them. So the first one of these moments is from December 2016, which is when BTS won Artist of the Year for the first time at MNET Asian Music Awards, also called MAMA. This was just kind of like a pivotal moment in their career. They had worked so hard for so long. And
it's the largest award at the MAMA Awards. Like, yeah. It's saved for last.
Right. So this was huge for them. Right after this award, they were on the Wings tour, which was a worldwide tour for their Wings album. Incredibly successful.
Yes. May 2017, they won Top Social Artist at the Billboard Music Awards, which is an American award show. Just to be there at the award show and receiving an award was a monumental moment for them. And then another thing that I, of course, always think of is November 2017, which is when BTS made their live American television debut performing DNA. And this was just, I felt they really got to not advertise themselves or market themselves, but, you know, they like made an appearance on TV and for an award show that a lot of people were watching. And I think they gained a lot of attention in the States after this.
Oh, definitely. Closely after that, within the same month, they went back to MAMA and for a second year in a row won Artist of the Year again. So the biggest award available there. And then just to mention it here, they also won the award for a third time in 2018.
Mm-hmm. So September 24th, 2018, BTS spoke at the United Nations for UNICEF, a charity they partnered with for the Love Myself campaign. Mm-hmm. And that campaign is working to end violence against children and teens around the world with the hope of making the world a better place through music.
Yeah, that speech at UNICEF was such a huge deal. And Namjoon's speech was just so eloquent and purposeful. Definitely go watch it if you haven't seen it. In November of 2018, they became the first K-pop group to be certified gold and then later on went platinum from the Recording Industry Association of America for their song Mic Drop. So that was huge.
Monumental, yeah.
Yeah.
In October 2018, they were awarded Order of Cultural Merit by the President of South Korea.
I just, like, can't even believe. Like, we're just talking about this. Like, it's just normal. But
here
this
are
is
facts,
such,
but it,
here,
yeah.
Here, here are facts, but they, this is so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went on the sold out Love Yourself tour, which included an additional encore tour that was sold out stadium tour, which of course was the Speak Yourself tour. Mm-hmm. We lucky enough got to go to both of them.
Yeah, so we were very fortunate, but they sold out Wembley two nights in a row, which is largest stadium in the world. Like incredible, incredible stuff.
90,000 seats, and they sold it out in 90 minutes the first time. Like, that's crazy. Then later on in May of 2019, they not only won Top Social Artist for the third year in a row at Billboard Music Awards, but they also won Top Group, which to us, when this was coming up, we were both like, they have to win. Like, they are the most popular group right now. Like, just
hands
looking
down.
At it, hands down. They went up against really well-known Western groups such as Maroon 5, Imagine Dragons, Dan and Shay, and Panic at the Disco, and they won. So
very
again,
well-known groups.
Yeah. So just super cool.
Yeah. And obviously, those are just some of the things, some of the moments in history that we think have really, you know, formed and made BTS what they are today. Like, where, like, they're just such a big group. Like, they're just very well known, very accomplished.
Big moments for them.
Yeah. But these are just a few off the top of our heads. Like, we didn't even mention the Grammys or anything like that. So there's obviously more to it. But that's just some of them.
Yeah.
It would take a whole episode to talk about all of them.
We really could, and we're just talking essentials right now.
Mm-hmm.
So other essentials is, of course, who are the members, and so we're just going to talk about each member. We're going to talk about who they are to us. So firstly, Kim Namjoon, or stage name RM, he is the group leader, a songwriter, producer, and rapper.
And then just to get into his personality, I think everyone doesn't really know for sure their true personalities, but I think we can kind of, we kind of get an idea of what they're really like because they show that side of themselves to us. Like, we don't think that they're putting on this, like, fake persona.
Well, like, we have seen all different kind of aspects of them just being an army for so long and seeing them in so many different elements. And that's why I said, like, to this to us is how we see them. So just our opinion.
Yeah. So for Namjoon, the first word that really came to both of us with personality is introspective.
Definitely in all of his, in his lyrics and the way that he kind of talks to people, he's very introspective. We also think he's really caring in just the way that he takes care of the other members and how he truly, like, is hoping for everybody's wellness within the group and is always checking up on everyone.
Yeah. And I think that's a reason why he got put into the leader role, is that that caring personality he has. We also said he's a realist because he takes situations and he's able to maturely figure out like a solution of some sort. He does, you know, he's just realistic about the way he goes into conflict. So that's definitely something he has as a personality trait.
On the other side of being a realist, he's also a philosopher. In the we know this from the books that he reads and, you know, the things that he does and the way that he writes. He definitely, he's a deep thinker.
Oh, he's just like the epitome of metacognition. Like he thinks about thinking, that kind of stuff. Yeah, he thinks of those big questions of existence and why we're here. We also said he's pragmatic. It's actually a word that you brought up, Kayla.
Yeah, that's true. Because he just is very, I mean, it goes along with him being a realist. Like the way that he solves problems is very thought out and fair and logical. And it, obviously, like kind of like what you said earlier, it's a good trait for a group leader.
I want to say this one because this is just how I feel about him. But I think a lot of people can agree. He's kind of a dork. He's really kind of a dork and a little bit of a weirdo, kind of a nerd. He's, you know, he's not like the smoothest kind of talker, which I think he could be, but he's just a little dorky.
Works for him. Yeah.
And it makes him endearing and cute and approachable.
100%. The last thing we kind of said about his personality is that he's also patient, which I think we see in various situations that he's in.
Oh, yeah.
As far as interests go, he enjoys nature. He likes to go on walks. He likes to go to museums. He's into literature and philosophy, like we said, and also sea creatures. Bethany, you want to explain?
Little crabs. He loves little sea crabs. And he just likes sea creatures. Every time he's on the beach, he's trying to capture them and hold them to the camera and show all his armies how cute they are.
It's amazing. Also, of course, his members are his interest because he loves and cares about all of them.
Yeah. So moving on to Kim Seok-jin, or Jin as his stage name. His role is he's the visual and he's a vocalist. So for his personality, we have to start off by saying he is chaotic. So chaotic.
He is definitely chaotic in that he doesn't give a shit. Like, he'll do whatever he wants to do, and it's great. And he doesn't do it in, like, a disrespectful way or, like, a harmful way to anybody else. But, like, if he wants to do something, he's going to do it.
It's almost like he's overreacting to every situation, but it's, like, in this goofy, playful way.
Yeah, for sure. He's also incredibly self-assured. Like, we never see him doubt himself. He fully commits and he owns it.
He owns it, always.
Yeah.
The kisses he blows at us, the hearts that like, he brings out on stage.
I brought this up yesterday during research, but who really, really can just blow kisses out to crowds, out to, like, the camera, and take themselves seriously and, like, do it? And he can.
And he, like, doesn't just do it, like, at concerts where it's only armies watching. Like, he does it for, like, American interviews, like, large American interviews where anyone could possibly see it.
Because he's so sure that everybody just sees how handsome he is and is so drawn to him.
Very self-assured, very confident. Another word that we use to describe his personality is headstrong. And we don't mean this in a negative way. We just think that Jin has his beliefs and what he thinks, and he's opinionated about them. And so it's not that he's closed-minded or anything. It's just like when someone comes at him with something kind of off the wall or different, he just is like, what? And he's very like opinionated about it, or will like call you out on your shit very easily. Like he's just headstrong.
Yeah, we love him for it.
Yeah.
We also said that he's goofy. Many people know that he's known for his laugh and his ability to be the oldest member in the group, but sometimes act the youngest or act among some of the youngest because he can just be so goofy and fun and silly. He's definitely not afraid to play around and have a good time.
And that really goes into our last personality trait, which is youthful. I think what makes him youthful is that he doesn't really take anything too seriously. I mean, he does, like, he can get really serious, especially like when they performed Fake Love in America for their like basically first live performance of Fake Love. You see him behind the stage in a Bon-Ton Bomb where he's like practicing over and over. So obviously he's serious, but like in his everyday life, it seems like he's kind of just more youthful and like, chill. Okay, like it's so contrast to what we're saying about Headstrong, but you know, like he's just younger. He acts younger than his actual age.
Yeah.
So some of his interests include video games, specifically like Mario games, fishing, which we've seen a lot of lately, blowing kisses, which we had to mention, but also pets. He loves having his pets and he loves his pets. Food and cooking is a big one. He loves to eat and he loves to cook. And then lastly, working out, which we know that he was the one who inspired Jungkook to become a muscle pig.
Okay, so on to Minyoongi, stage name Suga. And his role is rapper, producer, and songwriter. He is truly such an incredible rapper. And he is known... like, he's the number one in-demand producer in Korea right now.
Yeah.
So a little bit about his personality. We think because he's been through so much and worked so hard to get to where he is incredibly wise.
Very wise.
He has wisdom beyond his years for sure.
I know people like jokingly say he's like a little old man, but he really is wise beyond his years. He's just been through a lot, experienced a lot. Another personality trait is determined, which kind of goes along with what you were saying, Kayla. Like he maybe wasn't the most supportive with his music when he was growing up, but he like made this for himself and he was like, I want to be a producer. I want to write music. And ever since then, as we've gotten into BTS and like they've grown and they've come really far, he's still very determined to just like keep improving and keep writing and keep producing.
Another thing that we said about him is that he's introverted. And this isn't to say that he can't be outgoing at times or, you know, he can't be exciting. But like his personality as far as like just being more of a calm and like kind of he enjoys being alone. He enjoys having that time. That's definitely like introverted traits.
Yeah. What really made us think of that is that like in his free time, we feel that he's probably by himself, like for the majority of it.
And it's just what he wants to do.
It's because he wants to do it. Yeah. And then another thing is caring. He's super caring, even though it may not be as forward as Namjoon's version of caring. It's a little bit more subtle, but we have so many clips of him like being caring behind the scenes where like, I mean, it's just so subtle, like just handing a member a water bottle.
Yeah, like, it's just...
yeah.
It's just the best way that he does it is that he doesn't even look at whoever he's caring for or like acknowledge that he, you know, that he knew that they needed something. Yeah. But we just see him so many times just handing something to a member or doing something for them with like out even... thinking anything of it.
He's very selfless. That was not a personality trait we wrote, but I feel like selfless is so fitting. Like I feel like if they were all starving, he would give them all his food.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
Another personality trait is he's just a virtuoso. He is a musical genius. He has this natural talent ability for music that can only be described as a virtuoso.
Yeah. He's also very collected, kind of goes along with his introverted, wise nature. And he's also pretty mature, probably one of the most like mature acting amongst all of the members.
Yes.
So as far as his interests go, obviously, like, one of his big interests are producing and writing music. Even though that's his job, we truly feel like that's his favorite thing to do, mm-hmm. besides just laying in bed and relaxing. But, like, mm-hmm. if he was doing something, I feel like he'd rather be doing that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of relaxing, he also likes relaxing.
Yeah.
He additionally enjoys sports like basketball and baseball. He played basketball. We've mm-hmm. seen him go to some baseball games. Mm-hmm. And lastly is alcohol and liquor. He just knows a lot about like mm-hmm. different beers and different alcohols.
He's
and,
informed like, wines. On it.
Mm-hmm. He's informed. Like he's truly like a drinker who is like, it's like a hobby type thing. Like mm-hmm. you have an interest. You know, he just knows a lot, so
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So moving on, next is Jung Hoseok, stage name J-Hope. So his role in BTS is he is a dancer, rapper, and then he also dabbles in songwriting and producing and vocals. He's just that talented. So for his personality, first thing that comes to mind is positive. I mean, we have Hope World. He's always pretty optimistic with all the members. He never seems negative about anything or ever seems to be down. He definitely gets down, but he tends to have that positive personality to kind of bring mm-hmm. him up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. He's also very organized and clean. Mm-hmm. He's one of those members, like he has a morning routine and mm-hmm. he, you know, like has like his set breakfast and like whatever. And mm-hmm. he's always very punctual along with that. So just somebody yes. who mm-hmm. likes to have his life in order.
We also think he's a really good listener. A lot of the members have said that they're very comfortable with going to Hobie and talking to him about stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. Going along with like clean and organized, he's also a perfectionist, which I think is why he's so clean and organized. But when it comes to choreography, he is a perfectionist. He wants to make it as perfect as it can be, which is not really a bad trait.
No, and he does it amazingly. Mm-hmm. The last thing we want to talk about with his personality is just his unreal stage presence.
Yeah.
Both times that we've seen them live, he has wrecked us both so hard. Yeah. And if you watch any performance of theirs when it's like a big concert, when he comes out on stage, he fucking owns the entire crowd. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the rest of BTS aren't incredible performers, but the way that he controls us is
he
like...
He can manipulate the crowd in ways that I never easily. Knew that someone, one single person can manipulate an entire crowd of like 90,000 people.
Yes. And he like, he literally like shines with happiness like when he's mm-hmm. doing it. And yeah. it's incredible.
Yes. He's also very energetic. That's another personality trait.
Mm-hmm.
So for his interest, we should have more for this, but we kind of struggled. dancing, obviously, that's his main interest. He's had a passion for it for a while. But also fashion, which anytime you see any sort of airport pictures or anything like that, or just any interview, they always say that he has the most expensive taste. Like, he's just very into fashion. Mm-hmm. But lastly, we put family. Just spending time with his family, we know that he's very close with his sister. So I feel that anytime he has the opportunity to be with family, he will go and be with them yeah. over, like, traveling or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Something that just came to mind is he also likes collecting. Like, he collects the Cos figurines
yeah.
and...
Oh, yeah,
like
that's right.
Yeah. And so he's really into collecting, like, things mm-hmm. that he likes.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Park Jimin. Stage name, just Jimin. He is a singer and a dancer in BTS. Also, my bias. if this is your first ep.
If you didn't know that.
In case you didn't know. So, his personality... the first thing that came to mind, which I don't know if this is what this is saying, but I think he is mischievous. Justin, like, I don't know, we kind of see him like messing with everybody or like stirring the pot. Like, he's mm-hmm. very kind of like flirtatious also. So that kind of goes along with it.
He kind of has a facial expression where he looks like he's up to no good. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
We also said he's very charismatic. I don't know what it is about him, but he's got this charm. And I think anyone who comes in his path, like, it's just, he's easy to get along with. He's just very likable.
Mm-hmm. He's also lighthearted in that, like, we find him very easygoing. He's always smiling and laughing. But mm-hmm. we do know that there is an underlying temper that members mm-hmm. have talked about in the past. And you can kind of see it bubble up at times.
Yeah, you can. He's good at kind of concealing it, but you can mm-hmm. see it in his little stifled mouth. He's also very thoughtful and very loving. Anytime he gives gifts to members or talks about members, he's always complimenting them, and he's just loves all of them, hugging on them. He's super sweet and lovable and touchy.
Mm-hmm. So as far as his interests go, he's into fashion, dancing. He also really loves socializing, just hanging out. He has a bunch of different friends that he hangs out with. Mm-hmm. He likes drinking. He likes traveling. And, of course, he loves Army. Had to throw that one in.
He really loves Army.
He really loves Army.
So next is Kim Tae-young, or stage name V. His role is visual and vocalist. So for personality, I always immediately go to unpredictable. His behavior and how he communicates, and anytime BTS are hanging out, it's just like you're sitting on the edge of your seat because you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of unpredictable.
Yeah, and I think he's unpredictable in like a really eccentric way, which mm-hmm. I always relate his personality to like Jeff Goldblum, which mm-hmm. like if you have seen a Jeff Goldblum interview, like that's how I feel truly Tae-young will be that way when he's like that age.
Yeah.
Because he already has that kind of air about him.
Mm-hmm. He's just, you know, no one like him. There's just no one like him.
He's so unique. Mm-hmm. He's like very eclectic also at the same mm-hmm. time, like very artsy, definitely experiments in, you know, like what he's wearing.
Mm-hmm. He's also very carefree. He kind of mm-hmm. just goes with the flow. He doesn't seem to be like, he has opinions, but he's not super vocal about it. Or if you come with him with something, he seems like he's not going to really judge you or anything. He's just kind of very easygoing guy.
Yeah.
He's also very artistically minded. He is just pure, like, artist mind. I don't know how else to say it. He just wants to explore art and experience art and be in art. And he, when he goes and expresses it, it's just like an artist mind that I really have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, it's just, we try to think about it and we try to explain it, and you really, we can really just observe it because mm-hmm. we don't have that. Yeah. But he has this kind of like out of the box thinking, mm-hmm. That we understand and that we can, you know, see where he's coming from, but just like the things that he thinks about and the way that he expresses them is just like, wow, I can't believe you even.
Very off the wall. How'd you think of it that way? Very unique, very mm-hmm. himself, yeah. And then lastly, he's sentimental. Like with all his members, like especially like Yoongi and Jimin and Namjoon, really all of them, he just is like mm-hmm. so sentimental. He just loves them all, but he likes those little, he tries to be like really wise, but it's in this, of course, very eclectic, different, eccentric way.
Yeah.
So for his interests, we have fashion, we have Yantan, which of course, photography, singing, songwriting. He's really written quite a few songs now. K-dramas, anime, he's always watching something on his phone, or gaming, playing something on his phone. And then lastly, art and painting, which he's really been doing more recently.
Mm-hmm. So on to Jungkook. For his stage name. His role is vocalist, dancer, maknae, and he also dabbles in songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
for his personality, we just know that he is a punk emo boy at heart.
Oh yeah.
He totally used to listen to like screamo. He loves the chance to headbang, and he's a little emo boy in mm-hmm. dressing all black and just chilling in the background.
Mm-hmm. He is also kind of shy. When he is on stage, he doesn't give off this vibe. But when you see him in interviews, like you'll see him just kind of hide behind Namjoon. Mm-hmm. He's not quick to be like fully himself around people. He withholds a little bit.
Yeah. Which we think is kind of because he's a little bit introverted, which kind of just contributes to that kind of distance that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also very ambitious. When he sets his mind to doing something, he fully commits, and man, he does it.
He doesn't half-ass anything.
No, and he's so talented.
Yeah, I think the reason he doesn't have ass is because he's just so gifted already. So whenever he touches something, he's immediately like better than most people who've like would try to go and touch something, some sort of hobby.
It's just unfair.
Yeah. Very gifted. He's also just kind of a happy guy. Like he's just, he just seems to be a little bit more cheerful, I think, about things.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely also very courageous. He's not afraid to step up to a challenge and, you know, to kind of see something through. Mm-hmm. So as far as his interests go, he's very much so into videography. We always see his Golden Closet films. He likes working out. He likes improving his singing and dancing, and he likes hanging out with friends and being athletic in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So moving on to the fandom. So these are places where you guys as armies can connect with each other. So YouTube is actually a really great place to do that. Go to the comment section, interact. Mm-hmm. Another big place is Stan Twitter, and then also other social media platforms like Instagram and Facebook. I did not know until I was like into the fandom for like months before I realized that BTS had a Twitter, like BTS_TWT. Had no idea. I was just following Big Hit Entertainment like a dummy, but I had no idea.
Yeah. And really, like, each platform that you're on is going to have some differences. YouTube has, like, a lot of edits. And then I'm on Stan Twitter a lot. And that's, like, I feel Stan Twitter is the source of a lot of information. And then just, like, a lot of, like, talking about BTS or, like, a lot of jokes.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then if you want to be on Instagram, I guess you can call it Stan Instagram. I don't know. But there you're going to find a little bit less information, a little bit more just like fangirling, fanboying, thirst posts, thirst, kind of.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit of more younger armies on Instagram as well. But there's a lot of young ones on Twitter, too. But it's just a whole mix of everything.
Yeah. And then on Facebook, you can find some stuff. There's a few good pages with info.
Yeah, I think there's like a lot of other like international armies who might be a little bit more into Facebook.
Yeah.
But they're not like English isn't their primary language.
Mm-hmm. There's also Army Amino, which we're not on. This website to us is too fucking chaotic. There's like a chat on every page that you can't turn off, and like it just scrolls at the bottom but takes up half the page.
Yeah.
Like there's like all shit on the sides.
So you can't focus on what you're trying to read.
Yeah, it's just like it's too much. I don't feel like any information really comes from Army Amino. It's just kind of like it's like blogs about BTS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another place where you can connect is like through fan fictions and fan art. So AO3 is a wonderful place to read fanfics, as is Wattpad. And then you can kind of find some Twitter ones too. And then fan art is kind of put all over. You can see it on Stan Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and even like on YouTube.
Right. So we as fans can connect with BTS. Of course, on Stan Twitter, like, we can see their tweets, but on Weverse, they actually comment on people's stuff and post on there. They also post on Fan Cafe, which is like a Korean site, but like if you're on Twitter or sometimes on different platforms, you can see translations. And then what's really cool is the V Live app, where they will actually go live randomly for like an hour or something, mm-hmm. and they'll do different things like album reviews, or just hanging out, like eating and talking or whatever.
And you can just talk in the chat and they read the messages in the chat and they'll respond to them,
which is really, really cool.
So forms of BTS content, there's tons of places where you can consume and find BTS content rather than just their music and on social media. So there's Bon Voyage 1, 2, and 3, which is posted to V Live. You have to buy it, but they basically go on vacation together. There's Amazing. Run, yeah. There's Run BTS, which is kind of just like a variety show type of thing where they play games. There's Bangtan Bombs, which are posted to YouTube, but where it's like behind the scenes of like different comeback stages and like et cetera, like all sorts of behind the scenes. There's their vlogs from early BTS when they've debuted and stuff. That's also on YouTube. There's their American Hustle Life, like American, I don't, it wasn't American. They were just in America, but it was a TV series. I forgot what it was through. Go check out that bonus episode. They also have summer packages and season greetings packages. They're kind of like Bon Voyage in a sense, but it's not as like easygoing. I feel like there's those packages have more like pictures and and all sorts of stuff. Like I got a fan, like a hand fan in one of them. There's also Burn the Stage, which is on YouTube. It originally started as a YouTube series, and then they made Burn the Stage the movie, and then they ended up making another movie, Bring the Soul, the movie. And so those were both in theaters, but of course you can buy them on DVD as well.
And those just like follow their tours, their Wings tour and their Love Yourself tour. So next we're going to get into K-pop culture slash BTS culture. So the first thing we want to talk about is what is a comeback and how does it work? Because when we first joined, like we had no idea when comeback was happening and people were like talking about it. Like we truly did not know how much it really was.
Yeah, had no idea.
No clue. So
we just expected an album and a music video.
So the comeback term, the term comeback marks the release of each new album, which happens in K-pop really every 3 to 6 months. Groups are known to make like smaller albums so they can just keep putting out music more constantly, which is still working at a really high rate. Each new album release marks the beginning of a new era. So you'll see the term era thrown around. Anything they release at this time is remembered to be in that specific era. So people will talk about like the Wings era or the Love Yourself era. In a comeback, they also release concept photos and teasers, so little teaser videos to not only like tease the intro song, which they always put out a video for now, but also to tease the hit track. They also, once they come back and release the album, they perform what's called comeback stages. So they'll go on TV shows in Korea and perform like 3 big songs from their album. Most popular, they'll go on M Countdown from the Mnet station or on Music Bank from the KBS World station. During this time, especially like very close to the comeback date, quickly after it, they will do a ton of interviews and live performances and V Lives just to promote their comeback. And they'll really heavily focus that towards the beginning of their comeback.
So
that's a comeback.
Yeah. We had to learn a lot about what a comeback was. And it's taken multiple comebacks to really understand like the layout and how it works. Because there's definitely a formula. There's like a regimen that they all go through. Every K-pop group. So another big part of just K-pop culture is bias culture. So when I first started with, I think this is just like one of the first questions that people ask you if you say, oh, I stan BTS or whatever. They'll say, who's your bias?
Who's your bias?
Yeah.
And it's funny because you like, when you first showed BTS to me, you were like, you have to pick a bias. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Talking about, yeah. It's just a favorite. Like, yeah. Who's the one who sticks out to you? Who's the one that you tend to favor? The one you bias towards. But within bias culture, there's kind of like levels of bias. So people switch biases all the time. There's bias wreckers where you have your bias, but you've got this other person who just wrecks you. Like they make you question whether or not they really are your bias because of various other factors. And then there's also within K-pop culture, an ultimate bias, which is you stan multiple groups, but you have one person out of all those groups that you can call your ultimate bias. Like, oh, I stan Twice and my bias in that is Sana, but then I also stan BTS and my bias is Yoongi, but my ultimate bias is Yoongi. Mm-hmm. Like between those two. Yeah. Right. And then there's also OT7 or whatever number you want to put behind it for whatever group you stan. Mm-hmm. But OT7 in BTS and ARMY culture is that you love them all, which you can still be OT7 and say you have a bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, like, we both say that we're OT7, but obviously we both have biases.
Yeah, yeah. And then lastly, there's these awful people who are called solo stans, who are, least to say, not OT7. They are, I only stan Jungkook, and I don't really care about all the other members. Or even if you're like, I'm a Jungkook bias and I like the Maknae line, but I just can't stand J-Hope. Like,
yeah,
you will or get even worse, hated on.
Like, even worse, liking like six of the members and then hating one of them. Like being yeah, like, a what the massive fuck is anti. That? I don't fucking understand it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't be so a solo stan.
Yeah. Don't be a solo stan. So that's bias culture.
So there's also ship culture. We have a ship series, so obviously we know a lot about ship culture. Shipping is just, it obviously exists in other fandoms. It's just thinking about two members or more in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So you and I tend to talk a lot about their friendships and their possible relationships, because it's just fun to kind of fantasize about like what relationships could be there. Mm-hmm. Within this idea of ship culture, there's also the term OTP, which is one true pair or one true pairing. So this is like your favorite ship. It's kind of like your bias of ships. Like my OTP is Minjoon, which is Namjoon and Jimin.
And my OTP is Taehyuk. Yeah. And we could do a whole episode on ship culture, but we're not going to talk about it because there's a lot of do's and don'ts to ship culture, because some people can go over the top with the relationship aspect where it's like, it's not real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's something we like to write fan fiction about and like think about.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we just like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on, another part of K-pop culture, but it's really become part of like just BTS and ARMY culture, but it's theories, alternate storylines, and universes. So BTS is one of the first, if not the first group to have an extensive, like intricate alternate universe storyline that connects through multiple eras, if not all their eras, if you really want to stretch it. Other K-pop groups have done this, but just not to this extent. Nor have other groups managed to create and sell as much content as BTS has about their storylines. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's so many places where you can find information on, like, their alternate storylines. So, we've done various episodes in which we talk about theories. Probably about, like, 30 of our 85 episodes now have we talked about theories. So, if you'd like to, go back and listen to some of those if you're interested to know more. But if you have like a specific thing you really want to know about, you can go ahead and DM us for specifics.
Yeah. Next, we want to talk about fan wars. Fan wars mostly take place on social media, but to sum it up, it's mostly K-pop fandoms having conflict with each other. These arguments can be about hating on fandom behavior, like, oh, I hate how Army acts on Stan Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Or just hating on the performance of the group themselves or like any members of the group.
Yeah.
So sadly, this is a part of Stan culture. You'll see it on any social media platform. I even can say that I did this once, like not large scale, but like mm-hmm. I quoted some tweet that was like against EXO or something. And I commented something about it, like you wouldn't see BTS doing this. And people yeah. were like upset. They were like, hey, I like EXO. Like, yeah. I don't know why you have to make it about like a us versus them type thing. And mm-hmm. they were right, of course. But it just goes to show like how easily it is accessible on social media. So we just want to say we're not promoting it. We're just trying to educate on the way that fandoms interact and really just say, like, try to stay out of it. Try to not perpetuate mm-hmm. it or add to it or participate in it. Mm-hmm.
A large argument that you'll see with BTS and fan wars is like there's the whole argument of whether or not BTS paved the way. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of fan wars stem from that.
Definitely. Because it's like either armies saying, oh, BTS paved the way, either just being proud of like something they're doing or saying it like in a moment to take away from another group being successful. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's so cool that your group is promoting in the States, but BTS paved the way. Like, that's super shitty whenever people do that.
Yeah.
So definitely just like that's a big thing too.
Mm-hmm. So another big part of just K-pop culture and BTS and ARMY culture are fan sites and sasaengs. So fan sites will often go to most, like people who run the fan sites or sasaengs, they'll go to most of the BTS concerts, public appearances, even like airport arrival and departures. They're kind of like paparazzi, if not our paparazzi, but they're fans, so it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But they take pictures and videos of these moments in these places, and they post them to social media, typically on YouTube and Twitter. And companies will also do this as well. It's not just fans, such as like Dispatch, which is a K-pop news group. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they'll go to the extreme of like buying tickets, like yeah. plane tickets and finding the flights that they're actually flying on, which is insane.
I think that, okay, that touches into more saucing behavior, yeah. which I'll get into in a second. But I think what really sets fan sites kind of apart from what we think of the traditional paparazzi is like typically a paparazzi is like taking pictures that they take and selling them to media organizations. But fan sites don't do that. Fan sites take pictures and videos and they upload YouTube videos and make YouTube money.
They have a site.
Yeah, they like have a site that they maintain and like photos that they sell and whatever. So fan sites who do follow the rules and only go to publicly posted events in BTS's schedule are awesome. And mm-hmm. we support them and thank them for the many incredible photos and videos that they provide us. However, the ones who don't follow the rules and who take it to the extreme are called sasaengs. So sasaengs stalk BTS. Like literally the definition of a sasaeng is somebody who's stalking. They mm-hmm. stalk BTS and invade their privacy. Those are the ones that find out like what flight they're on and get on the same flight and like take pictures of them. It's fucked up.
Gosh.
BTS has a private plane now because
we're all so
having
happy.
Issues like that.
ARMY was so happy when they got a private plane. We're like, fuck yeah. yes. Thank goodness.
Sasaengs show up when media is not invited, when it's not a publicly scheduled event. They also are known to get way too close to BTS, like pushing their bodyguards and like trying to touch them. They also have like a weird possession over BTS, especially over like the specific member that they cover or like a specific bias mm-hmm. or whatever. So yeah. for example, just something that's happened recently is Headliner. You and I have even talked about headliner videos on this podcast, like when we talked about the MAMA 2018 performance of BTS, and we have like really liked headliner. And then a few weeks ago, like maybe a month ago at this point, like screenshots came out of what something that headliner was saying about Jungkook, basically like really nasty, taking ownership over him and like
so
threatening
terrible.
Him and
being like talking so poorly of the other members as well. Like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. And when that was released, I felt dirty. Like, I felt so dirty. Like, wow, I've watched headliners' videos and like looked at their pictures, and I just feel like, ooh, filth.
Yeah, definitely. So it's just something to be aware of when you are consuming fan site content, is like, know who you're watching. Like, obviously so many people watched headliner and we had no idea like another fan site released those screenshots. But you know, do your research. You don't want to support somebody who, like, if they've been outed as like being blacklisted by Big Hit, blacklisted by BTS, you know, don't support their content. Don't watch it.
Don't
share
them.
It. Yeah. Okay, so the next thing to talk about is just kind of about BTS's pride in Korean culture. I think this is definitely kind of part of their culture and the fandom, which is just because since we've been fans, since they've made it huge in the American market, antis have really accused BTS of becoming so westernized and kind of relying on Western things like Western music and stuff like that to become more popular. So on purpose, BTS like chooses, they've been asked so many times, like, are you going to make an English album? Like, can you make more English music? And they're like, this is a ridiculous question. Like, they sing in Korean. They often in performances and in videos are wearing traditional Korean outfits or Korean dress. They have been known to work in traditional Korean dances and instrumentation to their music and to their performances. They also include a lot of folklore and folk art in their videos and imagery. And their lyrics often represent like Korean metaphors, Korean sayings, and Korean products. So they're very much proud of who they are.
They are. And I think the song and the music video where they really wanted to express and show to people around the world that they have that Korean culture pride, like they're proud to be Korean, is Idol. Their song Idol, the whole video and the song is satire. And you can go check out our They Call Me Idol episode because we really get into it. But I mean, they're wearing like traditional clothing, Korean clothing. They've got like Bangkoks. They've got, I mean, just everything. There's so much detail into it. There's that folklore. There's that traditional Korean dance in it and instrumentation. Mm-hmm. It's all in there. And like they even say, like the very first line that Namjoon says, they call me artist, they call me idol. Like you can call me both. Mm-hmm. But yes, like they're not becoming westernized. It's just, they have broken through Western culture now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking incredible music video.
Yes.
just the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lastly, we're just going to list off the award shows that you'll see BTS at a fair amount throughout the year. So the most well-known and I think the most honorable one that they attend is MAMA, which is the Mnet Asia Music Awards. Mm-hmm. They also go to Melon Music Awards, Golden Disc Awards, Seoul Music Awards, Gaon Chart Music Awards, Korean Music Awards, and then even the American award shows like Billboard Music Awards, American Music Awards, and oh, now the Grammys, the freaking Grammys.
They did go to the Grammys this year.
You'll see them there.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, they're definitely going to go next year. Mm-hmm. And some of the Korean awards shows nowadays, they're almost like too small for them. Like they don't go.
Yeah,
they'll
like you
like
won't
send
see
them
always at them. Yeah, but yeah. You'll see them nominated and they typically will win something.
Right. Okay, so now we're just going to do an overview to kind of close this out of ARMY do's and don'ts, in our opinion. So do stan OT7 and don't be a solo stan.
Mm-hmm. If you want to survive in this fandom,
you cannot be a solo numeron. Stan.
That's like the first rule. I was going to say numero uno and then I fucked it up.
Cute.
So do stan BTS. Don't start or partake in fan wars.
Definitely. Do participate in shipping and fan fiction, but don't take it too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Do respect their privacy. Don't be a sasaeng or support sasaengs.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, do love and support BTS for who they are and don't try to change them or tell them what to do.
Yes. Don't tell Jungkook that he can't have hand tats.
Yeah, fuck. If he wants to have hand tats, then he can, you know, he has them right now. And you guys are saying that they're fake, and I bet they're not fucking fake.
I kind of hope they're real.
I hope they're real.
That's a ballsy tattoo.
I love it.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Don't tell Jin that he can't cut his hair, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't tell Taeyong he can't have a mullet. Don't tell Namjoon not to put cute filters on his face. Okay,
yes,
I'm done.
Yes. All right. So that was our Army Essential episode. Hopefully we covered it all. Just it was very general. We had to do, you know, we really had to be brief on a lot of stuff, especially like their history, obviously. But we hope you've enjoyed it and we hope that it was informative and maybe you learned something along the way, especially if you're a new Army. We really went into their personalities, the members' personalities. But to me, that's one of the most fun things to talk about in this fandom, yeah, is just how they are and what they like to do. And so, I mean, that's the majority of Stan Twitter. Like, this is such a Taeyong thing or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. So hopefully you all enjoyed it. We definitely enjoyed it. This was a super fun episode to put together.
Mm-hmm. So if you enjoyed this episode and if you've enjoyed any of our previous episodes, there's a few things you can do to let us know. Of course, we love hearing from you, so you can reach out to us on any of our social medias or you can email us. You can also let us know that you enjoyed it by writing a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. Those just really mean a lot to us and we love mm-hmm. reading them. So thank you guys mm-hmm. for all of them that we've gotten so far. But of course, if you want to connect with us, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening and thanks for stanning BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian. And we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.